Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when President Trump, of course, has responded. He's responded, you'll be shocked to hear, aggressively to the referrals, the criminal referrals made yesterday. Four of them by the House Select Committee on January 6th. He pointed out that one of the leading voices in the committee, the vice chairman, in fact, Liz Cheney, lost her primary race in Wyoming by 40 points. It's a slight exaggeration, but not much. She lost badly. So does that answer the question about whether or not President Trump is in fact going to be prosecuted by the Justice Department? He's already being investigated by the Justice Department, by Special Prosecutor Jack Smith. We will get to that on the Michael Medved Show. We'll also get to a perceptive piece on exactly what Ukraine needs to end the war. And there's also an Israeli strike on Syria, on Syrian territory, to go after some of the Iranian militia-backed efforts to attack Israel. Israel is not acknowledging it. What does that mean for the future of the Middle East? And speaking of endless conflict, there's endless conflict in the United States about just how free municipalities and states and individuals, frankly, are going to be in their observance of the Christmas season. We'll be speaking with Dan Barker of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who has put out an interesting paper called Heathens Greetings. Really? For all you heathens out there, this is something I am sure you have been waiting for. And we'll also be speaking with John Bolton. John Bolton says politics is really about philosophy. And the problem with Trumpism, according to a former member of the Trump administration, he was national security advisor, the top-ranking White House aide concerning foreign and defense policy. But he says the problem with Trumpism is it can't continue without Trump because it has no philosophy. There is no ideology associated with it. What does he mean? We will be speaking with Ambassador Bolton about that later in the show. Okay, first off, the one of the things that I mentioned yesterday, and it's now in writing and reported by Axios, they say that House Republicans are privately plotting to release their own 100-plus page rebuttal timed to the January 6th committee report that was just released yesterday. Actually, what they released yesterday was about 150 pages, and it wasn't the full report. It was a summary, an executive summary of the report. But they did 1,000 witnesses. So they're going to do 1,000 witnesses from House Republicans who are about to take over the majority and about to try, at least, to elect Kevin McCarthy as the new speaker. The rebuttal, the Axios reports, will likely focus not on the White House, not on President Trump and his aides, not on Nancy Pelosi. It will focus on the Capitol Police Force and its actions on January 6th, as House Republicans aim to shift the blame away from Trump and on to Capitol security. Good idea that it was Capitol security, which, by the way, really didn't do anything different from what Capitol security has been doing for a long time. If Capitol security managed to keep the Capitol building safe and unmolested for 200 years, more than, I mean, even during the Civil War, the Capitol building was safe. Is it really Capitol security that is to blame for what happened on January 6th? The GOP has already created a shadow panel that will be led by Jim Banks, a representative of Indiana, and made up of would-be select committee members to release their report. So regardless of what Trump says or what Trump does or what happens with the Trump campaign, obviously we are going to continue to have debate and debate and debate and debate about what actually happened on January 6th and whether President Trump actually deserves at least some of the blame, you think? President Trump insisting the piece is the two headlines that you can find, one from the New York Post, the other from Mediaite. Under Mediaite, the headline is, in big capital letters, "I did nothing wrong!" exclamation point. Trump completely melts down over criminal referrals from January 6th committee. And President Trump, it says, initially responded by mocking the condemnations of committee vice chair Liz Cheney, saying that she would end up on the political oblivion. She, of course, has indicated she may be considering a run for president. I think that would probably be a bad idea. But she isn't ready to acknowledge political oblivion quite yet. He said Trump initially responded by mocking the condemnations by Vice Chair Liz Cheney. It was her father who was vice president, not her, saying it was part of a partisan attempt to sideline my 2024 run. And he also claimed that he couldn't be prosecuted on any of these charges because of double jeopardy. Why? What does he mean by double jeopardy? The fact that he was already impeached over his behavior. He was impeached by the House of Representatives. 10 Republicans voted for the impeachment. And by the way, 7 Republicans voted in the Senate, voted for his conviction on the second impeachment. And he said, he proclaimed, and in all capital letters, "I did nothing wrong." A further response by President Trump: "These folks don't get it when they come after me. People who love freedom rally around me. It strengthens me. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger." That's something that Friedrich Nietzsche said. Americans know that I pushed for 20,000 troops to prevent violence on January 6th. Really? He pushed for 20,000 troops? He's president of the United States. If he's commander-in-chief. If he wanted 20,000 troops to be on the ready, they clearly could have and would have been on the ready. He says, "I went on television and told everyone to go home." He did do that, but it was about 4 hours after the fighting and the destruction and the injury to 140 cops began. Trump compared the bipartisan panel's criminal referral Monday to the article of impeachment brought against him by Congress twice during his presidency. "The people understand that the Democratic Bureau of Investigation, the DBI," he said, "are out to keep me from running for president because they know I'll win, and that this whole business of prosecuting me is just like impeachment was a partisan attempt to sideline me in the Republican Party." Trump suggested that the second impeachment against him means that he can't be charged for the crimes the panel has accused him of, citing double jeopardy. The fake charges made by the highly partisan unselect committee of January 6th have already been submitted, prosecuted, and tried in the form of impeachment hoax number 2. I won convincingly. Actually, a majority of the Senate voted to remove him from office. They didn't get the 2/3 they needed. Double jeopardy, anyone, he wrote. We will get to more on what happens next and the reaction of Republicans and the Wall Street Journal to the criminal referrals. That coming up on the Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show.
I'm just shocked.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener's Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately, I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved show concerning the decision yesterday. It was a unanimous vote, 9-0. That included the 7 Democrats on the unselect committee, as President Trump would describe it, about January 6th. and the two Republicans, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, both of whom are not going to be in the new Congress, so they are playing out their final couple of days as representatives of Southern Illinois, in the case of Congressman Kinzinger, and of course the state of Wyoming. Wyoming only has one congressman, and it is now the Trump-favored Harriet Hagedorn, who Trump pushed as an alternative to Liz Cheney, and she won the primary and the general election handily. Wyoming provided about 70% of its votes to President Trump in the most recent election. The AP is reporting the GOP leaders responding yesterday to the decision by the Select Committee. GOP leaders either stayed mum or doubled down on their criticism of President Trump in response to the referrals, a stark contrast to when they rallied behind the former president in the summer after the FBI searched his Mar-a-Lago estate. The divergent responses are a sign of how quickly the political landscape has shifted for Trump as he faces a new legal threat and mounts a third bid for the presidency. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said of Trump's actions on January 6th, it's a one-sentence response. Mitch McConnell said the entire nation knows who was responsible for that day. And is it unfair to say that Trump, who was president and commander-in-chief and rallied people, got them to come to Washington, D.C., invited them, promising a wild time of protest, spoke to the protesters, urged them to march up to the Capitol building, and he said, very peacefully and properly, we want you to protest at the Capitol building, and to achieve what exactly? In other words, would this have been a different story? Would the Trump departure from the White House, would that have been delayed or would that have been different if they had avoided violence? If they had come up and what is it they wanted in the protest? And of course, what Trump hinted, and this is part of the reason he got the criminal referrals, is he wanted them to stop a legal federal procedure. In fact, Mick Mulvaney talks about that obstruction charge. Mick Mulvaney, former congressman from South Carolina, he was a real hero to conservatives because he was manager of the budget for Trump. A lot of the good things that happened in the Trump administration had the fingerprints of Mick Mulvaney. He was involved with that. And he is a true conservative, and he has been, well, not thrilled about the whole stop the steal emphasis of President Trump and his loyalists. But Mulvaney was on CNN with Jake Tapper, and this is clip three. This is what he said about the various charges that were filed against Trump.
After the commission has gone through its work, I don't know if there's enough evidence there. Keep in mind, at the end of the day, I don't think this changes much anyway for this simple reason. The Department of Justice is already investigating. The FBI is already investigating. They've already asked the commission to share their evidence. So I don't know how these criminal referrals change much. I think the Department of Justice will say, thank you very much for the referral. Thank you for the evidence. We're going to continue to go about our business. And I have no feel one way or the other, but in my gut, I think that obstruction charge is probably the one that should fright the Trump team the most.
Okay, because it was, it did obstruct the process of certifying the votes. It was supposed to have taken place in the afternoon. It was postponed. Then Mike Pence did the right and the heroic thing and called them back like at 1 in the morning to get their job done because it's a job that's prescribed by the Constitution of the United States. As there's quite a difference between the response from people like Mick Mulvaney and the Wall Street Journal and other conservatives who are talking about the response of the committee and the fact that it doesn't really mean anything because it has no legal force. And it may, in fact, Trump could be right. That it may in fact help him by rallying more sympathy supporters to his cause. But part of what is happening now is put by the Wall Street Journal in the following terms. The questions for the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, are whether Mr. Trump's reckless conduct on January 6th was criminal, and whether indicting him is prudent and good for the country. The House referral cites laws against insurrection, obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States, and conspiracy to make a false statement to the government. But getting a conviction requires a unanimous jury, and the House theories of the case have serious problems based on current public evidence. And that's why people are trying to read, to look out at the actual evidence that is there in this 150-page summary. They interviewed a total of 1,000 witnesses. When Mr. Trump, writes the Wall Street Journal, pressured Vice President Mike Pence to reject Electoral College votes, he was following a crackpot legal theory that claimed to represent the true meaning of the Constitution. It was floated by John Eastman, a former law professor, whom the committee also referred to the Justice Department. But giving rotten legal advice isn't illegal. Mr. Trump's ultimate goal wasn't to obstruct the congressional session on January 6th. He wanted it to go his way. This was nonsense, and it had no chance of success, but was it a crime to lobby Mr. Pence to try? Mr. Pence, who stood up to the browbeating, said Monday he doesn't think it was. Also, what about the First Amendment, says the Wall Street Journal? The 2020 election wasn't stolen, but Mr. Trump has a right to argue that it was, even if he knows he is misleading his followers. Politicians dissemble all the time. The Justice Department's job isn't to police partisan deceit as criminal conspiracy. January 6th, says the Wall Street Journal, was a disgrace. Amen. And Mr. Trump's behavior on that day and since is a reason not to trust him with the presidency ever again. But justice must balance a decision to indict Mr. Trump with the risk of setting a momentous precedent, prosecuting a former president running again against a current president. The House referral alone will give Mr. Trump an excuse to claim this is all another Democratic revenge campaign. And it comes as Republican voters finally seem to bang the gong on the Trump show. Voters in November rejected candidates who campaigned on Mr. Trump's stolen election theories. I think their balance is illuminating. So is the opinion of Ilan Berman on Ukraine, Russia, and an Israeli strike on Syria. Coming up.
The Michael Medved Show.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. This may suddenly be a stay-at-home kind of holiday weekend, despite your long-ago planned trip to the relatives.
the weather is not cooperating. National Weather Service meteorologist Brandon Hoving says the Great Lakes region may be ground zero for the storm.
If at all possible, folks should consider wrapping up travel plans by Thursday morning because we are expecting snow to move into the region by Thursday evening. And really, Friday is the day things go way downhill.
The count of canceled flights so far today, nearly 500, according to FlightAware.com's misery map. They're racing the storm on Capitol Hill, trying to approve that big year-long federal spending bill and get out of town before the storm hits the Mid-Atlantic. The House Ways and Means Committee is also meeting, trying to decide whether to release to the public years of Donald Trump's tax returns. The Supreme Court last month cleared the way for the possible release. Rich Johnson, USA News.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star dancing in the night.
And on the Michael Medved show, it's a worth for a moment thinking about the Christmas season in Ukraine, where the circumstances are nightmarish in terms of the abuse, the death, the destruction. And the question is, how does it end? How can it end? What is necessary for this war that began back in February, almost a year ago, for this war to finally come to its conclusion? Ilan Berman, frequent guest on this show, I'm very proud to say, is the senior vice president of the American Foreign Policy Council. He is also described as an aspiring guitarist and a doting dad and a Newsweek columnist who has been sanctioned by Russia. So what have the Putinistas done to you, Ilan? How have you been sanctioned?
So I have a lifetime ban on entry into the Russian Federation since May. But as I like to point out to everybody, that lifetime ban is for Vladimir Putin's lifetime, not necessarily mine. So, you know, my sense is that his is much shorter. But for now, we have to forego our vacations on the Black Sea. So
I see. Well, what a tragedy. Were you born in Russia?
I was not. My parents were.
Okay. Okay. Bringing us to this very important column you've written, what you're talking about, and the title is What Ukraine Needs to End the War, You're not talking about weapons that it needs, more Patriot missile batteries or any of that. You're talking about the kind of success that it needs to achieve before the Ukrainians are willing to make peace.
No, that's precisely right. And the reason I wrote this, frankly, was because I'm seeing a lot of conversations here in Washington about the need to, fast forward to accelerate some sort of negotiated compromise between Kiev and Moscow. And that conversation really sort of struck me as a little bit premature because the fundamental preconditions for both sides stopping the fight haven't really been met yet. And so I thought it was a worthwhile sort of thought exercise to go through and sort of outline what it is that the Ukrainians really feel are their sort of their core preconditions to go to the negotiating table to lay down their arms. And there's four of them. You can call it the four R's, right? The first is restoring territory. And this doesn't just mean the territory that Vladimir Putin has conquered now, but it also means the Crimean Peninsula, which he annexed after a stage-managed referendum back in 2014. The Ukrainians think this is an essential part of their territory, and they're not willing to give it up.
And the fact, I mean, people who are critical of Ukraine would bring up the fact that there is a substantial Russian-speaking, not Ukrainian-speaking, community in the Crimean Peninsula, and that the obviously rigged referendum, what was it, 90% voted that they wanted to be part of Russia, not Ukraine?
Right. No, that's right. The counterpoint to that is it may well be that there's a sort of a wellspring of affinity for Russia among people that live in Crimea. But I would make the argument that, we don't actually know what the residents of Crimea think because the decision's been decided for them. So if in the future there is a change of status, that's a conversation that the inhabitants of the Crimean Peninsula need to have with the Ukrainian government. It can't be decided by us and it can't be decided by the Kremlin.
Okay. The restoration is the first of the four R's.
Right.
And the second of the four R's, it seems to me this would be the easiest one for Russia to agree to is return of citizens. We're talking about
right.
People who basically been kidnapped by the Russians, right?
No, that's right. So Ukraine, before the war was a country of 43 million people. 8 million people have left Ukraine. A significant percentage of those people have gone to Russia, but a lot of them haven't gone willingly. And so one of the, frankly, the sort of the most appalling stories that's come out of, the territories that have been occupied by Russia is the fact that the Russian military has set up these filtration centers and has begun abducting Ukrainian minors and has been forcibly sending Ukrainian citizens into Russia as sort of a part of a re-education plan that really sort of, takes them out of Ukraine and tries to make them Russian by force.
And then there is reconstruction, which is a huge undertaking because of the level of devastation that the Russians, with their drone campaigns and shelling, that they have brought against the Ukrainians. This has to be at least partially Russia's responsibility, right?
No, absolutely. And the price tag for this is frankly astronomical, right? I've seen estimates as high as $1 trillion in terms of infrastructure and population centers that have been destroyed as a result of the Russian offensive. And so the question really becomes, who is the war bill due to? Who is going to pay that bill? And, there's a lot of European conversations now about the need for a Marshall Plan to rebuild Ukraine. And here, it's an important pivot point for us, but it's also an important pivot point for Ukraine because there's a temptation on the part of the Ukrainian government to take any and all comers in terms of supporting reconstruction. But the Ukrainians have to be careful because if they take too much money for China, if they let China become too involved in the reconstruction effort, it's going to cause all sorts of problems between Kiev and Washington, and I don't think they want that.
And finally, reparations. Russians have expressed how much willingness to talk about reparations?
Less than zero.
Right.
Less than zero.
Because they feel they're combating a Nazi regime in Kyiv. That's what Putin says. So,
no, that's exactly right. But the sort of the numbers here are really interesting because the, you know, obviously the Ukrainians want as much money as they can get, but the number that they're looking at is actually $300 billion. And the reason that number is significant is because that's the amount of foreign exchange reserves that Russia has that isn't actually held by Russia. Russia has about half a trillion dollars in foreign exchange reserves. $200 billion are in gold and silver, and you know, in either in the Russian Federation or you know, in money in accounts in China. That's stuff that the Kremlin can access. But the rest of the stuff, they don't hold it. We hold it. You know, banks in the West, European governments. And so, what the Ukrainians are asking for is, as a punitive measure, is for Western governments to give Ukraine Russia's money as a sanction, but also as a way to restore, you know, some of the money that they've lost as a result of the aggression.
Now, all of this sounds enormously reasonable, given the culpability of the Kremlin and what they have done in such a cruel and barbaric way. But is there any chance at all, no matter how consistent Ukrainian military success might be, that they would actually achieve these goals?
Well, I think they're at least partially achievable. And the reason I think it's important to talk about it is because, you know, everybody talks in broad terms about the need to end the war as quickly as possible. But the participants in this also have a role to play. People have to come to the table. Not only the Ukrainians, the Russians have to come to the table too. So understanding those core positions and at least trying to fulfill them somewhat is, I think, probably the most prudent way to move as quickly and as expeditiously as possible towards some sort of compromise.
Ilan Berman's piece. Ilan, can you stay for a moment to talk about this alleged Israeli airstrike? Airstrike in Syria. What's the deal? Apparently a couple of people died. It's a strike on Iranian assets in Syria. We'll be right back with more on that with Ilan Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council.
We need to deal with the truth.
The Michael Medved Show.
History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free if you join us as a Medhead Plus member. The cost is 22 cents a day for everything. And you have access to over 100 different subjects covered on Medved History Store programming. Check it out right now. It is a great opportunity. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want to go ahead and stream it and to listen to it and commercial free. Medhead Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Learn a lot. Costs, well, very little, 22 cents a day. Join us as a Medhead Plus member as soon as you can.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Show joined by for a few minutes more by Ilan Berman, who is a senior vice president of the American Foreign Policy Council and has traveled and written extensively in the Middle East and in Russia. And but no more Russian travel for a while, since he has been sanctioned by the Kremlin, for which I congratulate you. The Syrian news agency SANA alleged that 2 military personnel were injured, not killed, but that damage was caused by an Israeli attack near Damascus Airport last night, the second night of Hanukkah. According to the report, one of the targets of the attack was an air defense battery that was recently deployed in the area of the Syrian capital's airport. What do we make of this? Why is Israel bothering to attack Iranian resources and Iranian influenced personnel in Syria?
Well, and so let me preface anything I say on this by saying, you know, we don't necessarily know the exact contours of this, so this is all subject to revision. But what it looks like to me, at least, is that the Israeli Northern Front, which never really went away, right? We've been focused on a whole bunch of other things, and in our conversations about Israel, we've been focused on their domestic politics and, you know, their new government now in formation, about to be seated. But the Israelis for years have been grappling with this problem, the problem of a weak, sort of very hostile regime in the Assad regime in Damascus, and the fact that the Assad regime has been so weak that they have invited in external actors like Iran and Russia to prop up the regime against their own internal opposition, against jihadists. And for the Israelis have been trying to square the circle for a long time. But it's an active front, and every once in a while it flares up. And what I think we're seeing is that, you know, the tectonic plates are shifting a little bit. Russia's moving resources out of Syria because it's having trouble in its war in Ukraine. The Iranians are now all in on Vladimir Putin's war against the West, and they're shifting resources around as well. And my sense is that, you know, this is this in this environment, the sort of the northern front for Israel is heating up a little bit. And so the Israelis are, you know, taking matters into their own hands and they're trying to threat Iranian proxies to the north.
We spoke yesterday to Robert Kaplan, who has written extensively about the future of the Iranian regime, and he believes that that future will not be extensive, that it is a matter of months before the regime collapses. Do you believe that's too optimistic?
So I would love for that to be correct. I take a little bit of a sort of a more measured view, a more long-term view, for a couple of reasons. I think the protests that are happening right now, you know, I wish them all the success in the world, and I'm wholeheartedly behind them. But I'm not seeing the key ingredients for this sort of this very rapid near-term revolution. Protesters, there's no leadership, there's no cohesive leadership that's come about. It's sort of this grassroots movement without any clear direction or leadership. They don't have a positive agenda. They only have a negative agenda. They don't know what they stand for. They only know what they stand against. They don't like the Islamic Republic, but we haven't really heard much about what the future composition of the post-theocratic Iran is going to look like, and we need to. And more than anything else, you know, the Islamic Republic has been around for over four decades. It's resilient. It's resilient in its repression. And the longer this situation goes on, the more the regime can adapt its tools of repression to do things like shut down the internet, stop the opposition from communicating. In this context, they need maximum support. The Iranian protesters need maximum support from the West in order to make sure the protests succeed. But the current trajectory, to me, is doesn't signal that it's going to come to a head in the next few months.
Jessica Chastain, Oscar-winning actress, I want to give you a chance to respond to her. She says the only reason that America is providing more support to Ukraine, and she supports Ukraine. She's met personally with Zelensky. Both of them backgrounds in show business. But Jessica Chastain says the only reason we're giving more support to Ukraine in its struggle as opposed to Iran is because the Ukrainians are white.
Well, so that's an interesting statement. Obviously, it's sort of an enormously troubling statement. I don't necessarily know that she's wrong in the context of the way we're treating the situation. Obviously, the scenarios are not the same, right? In the context of the fact that what we're actually trying to do, and it's very clear when you talk to officials in Europe, that what we're looking at in Ukraine is not a local fight, but it's a fight against Russia trying to reassert itself as an empire that we're trying to stand against. So I think in the context of what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, the scope is a bit broader. But I think it's absolutely true that we are not paying as much attention as we should to what's happening in Iran. Iran is an enormously consequential place. The population is westward looking. It's young. 70% are under the age of 30. We should be allocating much more time and attention and, frankly, money to their plight.
And that does not necessarily mean going back to the JCPOA, to the nuclear deal that Obama constructed and Trump removed. Going back to that nuclear deal, not necessarily a good idea right now?
No, I think it's actually the opposite. Going back to the JCPOA is the worst thing we can do, because going back to the JCPOA would strengthen the regime and do so at the expense of the Iranian protesters. It would give additional resources to the Iranian regime, and it would give it additional international legitimacy in a way that would allow them to repress the people of Iran to a much greater extent than they're repressing already without fearing consequences from the West. So I think the sooner that we can put the final nail in the coffin of the JCPOA, the better. The better for us and the better for the Iranians.
And the better for the world at large. Let me just add one additional thought to that idea that it's all about race. I mean, I think, of course, there's a great tendency in Hollywood right now to make everything about race. And the truth is, Ukraine is a government. You were talking before, Ilan Berman, about the problem with the demonstrations in Iran, is we all know what they're against, but we don't know what they're for. We know what the Ukrainian government is for, and it's for national survival of a nation that's been attacked with the involving the death of what's amounting up to be hundreds of thousands of people. So it seems to me that as an existential matter for America and for Europe, the Ukrainian struggle has even more consequence. Last comment for you.
No, I think that's exactly right. And what I think we need to understand in the context of Russia and Ukraine and how it's different from Iran is that for the Iranians themselves, the problem is very urgent because they've been languishing under this regime for over four decades. But in the context of the maturity of what we're seeing now on the street, whether or not it's a revolution, we're still early in the game. We are not early in the game in terms of Russia and Ukraine. The bear is at the door, and the Ukrainians are fighting back. And so I think that's why we're allocating more attention here. But to her point, I think we should allocate more attention to Iran as well.
Amen. And we should have the at least the wingspan, the attention span to be able to do both. Ilan Berman, you can read his most recent piece, What Ukraine Needs to End the War. It's posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Coming back, we're going to be speaking in a little while with somebody else who knows something about foreign policy. His name is John Bolton. He was former national security advisor under President Trump, who is now questioning the future of what people call Trumpism. We'll also speak with him about the situation in Iran, the situation in Ukraine, and the danger of isolationism as a part of the conservative mindset here. We'll also be speaking about the Title 42. What is Title 42? It is what has been put on hold. It was supposed to be withdrawn. A lot of people believe it would be catastrophic to withdraw it and lead to a gigantic surge of unauthorized illegal immigration in the United States, which is something most people in the United States absolutely do not want to see. We'll also be getting back to the future of the Trump campaign. Why is it that in all the weeks, and it's close to a month now, since his announcement of candidacy, he's done how many public events? Answer, none. What is going on? We'll get to that for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.